In this episode of the Neverwinter Nights podcast, please join us as we interview Paul St. Marie and Gavin, a.k.a. Sixes Thrice, from Project Q.
It's the Neverwinter Nights podcast.
The Neverwinter Nights podcast.
The only podcast for the Neverwinter Nights game series, bringing you news, interviews, reviews, and more for the community by the community. You can find us online at neverwinternightspodcast.com. And now, on to the show.
Hey, Justin here, DM of Realms of Trinity and a member of the Neverwinter Nights podcast.
Hey, this is Brian, a.k.a. Sir Brian from the Realms of Trinity and the Neverwinter Nights podcast.
Hey, this is Paul St. Marie, a.k.a. P. St. Marie from Project Q.
This is Gavin Jones, a.k.a. Six from Project Q.
And you're listening to the 154th episode of the Neverwinter Nights podcast, a podcast all about the Neverwinter Nights series of role-playing games. Today's episode, we got Sixes Thrice and Paul St. Marie coming on the show to talk about Project Q and all the stuff they got going on over there. Project Q is a huge Neverwinter Nights 1 hack pack compilation that pretty much revolutionizes the Neverwinter Nights 1 game engine. It's like tons of custom content, models, creatures, you name it, weapon models, anything. It really makes a big difference in how Neverwinter Nights 1 looks. I mean, it's a very well done package. They have a great website, and stay tuned for their interview. We'll also have their websites and forums posted in the show notes. We got some news to go over. We got Neverwinter Nights 1 and 2 news, and I'm going to go ahead and start with Neverwinter Nights 1. Mostly is comprising of new custom content revolving around models and other environmental custom content. The first thing is Reforged Chain Weapons by The Amethyst Dragon, which will coincidentally be on our next episode, 155. You know, check that out. He did a great job working on these weapons, and definitely check that out. The link's in the show notes. We have Custom Content Challenge November 2011, The Underwater Stuff by CC Makers. It's a ton of different things. It's basically done underneath a content challenge for November 2011. That took place on the BioWare social forum. There's like a whole host of people that submitted content. Here's just a short list of the people who and what they submitted. We have Cessus Torque Show of VFX items. We have Jack Taylor, Freshwater Fish Creatures, Lord of Worms Undersea Version 10 Tile Set, Mistress, Placeable Sounds, Rubies, Bubble Spells, Shadow with 3 O's, Bubbles VFX Scripts, The Amethyst Dragon had submitted both Underwater Creatures and Underwater Placeables, Vibrant Penumbra, Whirlpool Placeables, and Zwerpools, Merfolk Tile Set Building and Matching Load Screen. And getting into Neverwinter Nights 2, Justin will cover these topics.
Yeah, so for Neverwinter Nights 2, we have two new models also. And these are another two done by Justin. So this guy keeps pumping out more and more models, but they're pretty good. There's The Thing, which is a kind of crazy-looking monster with a stomach in his mouth in his stomach. It looks kind of crazy. So check that one out. And then also he did one called Zythar, which is basically like a fire guy. It looks almost like Ghost Rider or something with armor on. But that looks pretty cool too. Both of them have links to them in the show notes. So check them out.
Yeah, definitely pumping out the content. Old Justin there. Also. We got a couple updates just to throw out for Realms of Trinity for Neverwinter Nights 2. We have implemented a custom ILR system, which is item level restrictions. It's full database driven to scale and everything, and there's a bunch of utilities built into the game, including a little widget show you directly from the database what the scale is in case you'd like to know. And in this I menu, you can right-click on an item in a store or in your inventory or anywhere. And what that'll do is it'll show you what level you need to equip the item. And last but not least, we had just started a big project to overhaul a whole host of wizard sorcerer spells. Eventually, we're going to be hitting all all spell categories. Not every spell, but a good, like at least 25 to 35% of all the spells. And to not totally uncap their level max, but to make them more effective and more damaging, especially the evocation spells. And we also will be tying in our custom epic re-level system to that. You got anything else there, Justin, before we get to the interview?
I don't think so. I think we're ready to go.
All right. Well, let's interview the guys from Project Q. Hey, Paul and Gavin, thanks for coming on Neverwinter Nights podcast. Can you give a start of talking about a little bit about yourself, a little bit about your background, how you got started in Neverwinter Nights?
First time I saw Neverwinter Nights, I really wasn't that impressed by it. I wasn't too much into computer games at the time. And then a couple of friends of mine, they just kept banging away at me to try it. And eventually my brother bought it for me for my birthday. It was actually the gold edition in 2004, and I've been hooked ever since, and I'm actually pretty glad he got it for me.
I think I actually got the gold edition first. It's sort of like a random Christmas present off some family member. I seem to recall I picked it, but then I played the game, didn't like it, put it down for about 3 years, and then one day I decided I'd sort of get into modding it after I'd done some modding of Warcraft 3, and I stayed ever since.
I'm glad to hear that you've abandoned the Warcraft.
it was more that, like, well, 3D Studio Max is on, like, version 12 now, and any version past version 3 isn't supported by it anymore, so I had to mod something else. But
well, that would be one definite reason to be moving on to a different one. Yeah, I'll say this. I've messed around with 3DS Max myself, just doing stuff for a persistent world. I don't know how these guys do it. My head hurts every time I go in there. Of course, I haven't had any formal training on it, but it's definitely well beyond my understanding level. And I'm just to give a perspective, I'm a Neverwinter Nights 2 toolset master. So I must say, you guys are miracle workers using that.
See, you're a miracle worker to me if you can work the Neverwinter Nights 2 toolset.
Well, hey, you know, we got to join forces then.
So, can you guys tell us what is Project Q and how did it all get started?
That's a complicated question, sort of. It's kind of, essentially it's a set of hackbacks for Neverwinter Nights 1 that have a lot of stuff in them. But it was kind of conceived as, I suppose, a bit like a CEP style project, but instead of just finding content that was on the vault that we liked, we just make stuff and put it right in there. So it's more of a sort of a direct path of creating your own big compilation with your own stuff.
Yeah, and I'll say this: one of the things that catches my eye and I really like about what you did, and I can't give you enough praise about how you did it, but looking at your website, you know, looking how you've compiled everything, looking at the quality that you're putting into this project, I mean, it's unbelievable. I mean, and I look at how you did it, like, that's what sets it apart from anything else I've ever seen, because you're controlling specifically on what's going in and viewing it as a product more than just grabbing a bunch of disparate people's work that aren't necessarily cohesive. You know, it just, okay, well, we got some cool content, let's throw it in. Cool content, throw it in, but this is actually like cohesive works.
Yeah, I think personally, for myself, this might be a slightly controversial view, but seeing as I didn't particularly like Neverwinter Nights when I first got it, and I still can't stand at all the way it looks out of the box, I think that's probably one of the main reasons for that. I have quite high expectations, perhaps a little too high, of the game, so I'm trying to make it fulfill those.
Well, basically what happened with me was I went and I downloaded this neat little override project called Undead Redux. And when I got a look at that thing, I just could not play the game anymore with what was available. I just had to do something. And then the Wyvern Crown of Cormyr came out. And I saw those tile sets and I saw what could be done with the game. And I've just been modding it ever since to try and get it to look as as much like those tile sets and like a lot of the override work that Gavin did early on.
Yeah, I was actually asked by a chap called Mr. Rosencrantz, first name Lord, who was one of the people who started Project Q originally. I think it was him, Ragnarok MR4, and who's quite a well-known animator in the Never Tonight's One community. And they actually asked me to join because of Undead Redux, because I basically got an email saying, we're including Undead Redux, you're joining the team. If you have any disagreement with that, tough.
That's nice.
Yeah, you can basically thank me for that, Gavin, because Lord Rosencrantz was asking me what the best way would be to recruit you, and I said, well, from what little I know of him, he seems pretty flexible, so why don't you just ask him to join the team? And I think he just kind of took it from there, how his personality is, that he really just didn't have much choice in the matter, I'm afraid.
Well, I will say this. I mean, just looking at what you've put out, I mean, even independently to the Project Q and the tile sets, I mean, a couple of our staff members worked with you previously. Heck, you've taught them almost everything they knew. you know, it's just amazing what you've been able to accomplish in such a short amount of time.
And in turn, I think it was Lord Rosencrantz and Ragnarok MR4 that taught me everything I knew. So it kind of comes full circle there.
Absolutely. Totally.
And Gavin's still teaching me stuff. He just taught me yesterday how to scale stuff and using the Mac scaling tool. I didn't know that little button was there until yesterday.
Yeah. See, had that been me, I'd be a bit too embarrassed to mention that. But thank you for telling us all.
Well, you know, I'm never too embarrassed to mention stuff like it. I'll tell you why. I do that. You'd be surprised. Like, I've been working in the NWN2 tool set for almost 4 years, actually over 4 years now. And it's like, you know, I always find a little nook or cranny or something I missed or overlooked in the past. And, it, you know, it's just one of the things when you're dealing with complicated tools like that, it's so easy to miss stuff.
I'm the same. I just keep quiet about it. Everyone gets this idea that I'm super talented. I just keep stumbling on things by accident.
Hey, but you stumble on them, though. See that? That's the difference.
And then I push Paul on them afterwards.
Yeah. It pushes me good, too.
And you push me on things, and then I conveniently don't tell you.
How many people are part of Project Q? Can you tell us who they are?
That's another complicated question. We have quite a lot of people who are sort of kind of on the team, but aren't really involved in the sort of the core putting together of the project. I think the main team members are myself and Paul, and also Tom Banjo, who is another fairly well known artist in the Nemtronax community. I think he was one of the another member of the original Q team as well. So.
Yeah, he is a legend, no doubt. Absolutely.
We also have our web admin, Tricky Hands, some coding support off Thurgood, and that's about it for the team that are putting together the releases at the minute.
And we've also got a sound guy, too, Aaron.
I always forget him. I feel terrible. We do. He is incredibly good.
Yeah. Very talented.
Was it creating sound effects and musical scores, or
he's done a couple of creature voice sets, and he's done an override for all of the combat sound effects, like sword slashes, etc. I think was part of the last release we did.
Right.
Wow. Yeah, that's nice. I bet you that. I mean, I'm pretty sure that that's actually even compatible with Neverwinter 2, like the sound sets and stuff, because they basically just copy and paste everything over from one.
I know that, yeah. I think it's just if someone put it in a new hack, I think it would work fine, yeah. He's an elusive individual, but when he's around, he gets a lot done. So
looking at your website, it looks amazing. Can you tell us who designed it and who maintains it?
Well, the website is maintained by Tricky Hands, or our admin. I'm pretty sure the design was actually just a theme we got from some I don't know, places that have themes pre-made.
Man, that looks, I mean, that's unbelievable. That's a theme. It looks so perfect for what you've done, and I don't know. It's great.
The background and the logo were made by Maury Khan, who was the former sort of team leader and one of the main artists until he left. And as was the banner at the top of the forums, but the actual implementation of it was all tricky hands.
Yeah, it's one of the things that, you look at stuff and when you see a website, not just a website, but when you look at like the overall package and you see something like that, that's like, it just looks so good. I mean, it looks so like it's a, this is something you want to use. I don't know. I can't explain how it just really makes it so much more when you have a website like that and have everything out there for everybody to see. Plus how it's super well organized too. I'll say that as well. It doesn't look good. It's also chock full of information, easy to get around. And, you know, I tell you, anybody listening to the podcast and interested in implementing Project Q, the website shows tons of information about it in actual examples and almost like a Wikipedia of the content.
The only thing I'm a little bit bitter about is that the background looks so good. I'd like to have something like that in game. But,
Can't have it all, I guess. But certainly, it's certainly a big tribute to what the work that you've done. No doubt about that. Another question is how has Project Q been received by the modding community? If people converted their works from like the CEP to Project Q that you know of, or you know, how's that going?
I think, being as I've been talking all the time, I'll let Paul answer that.
Yeah, I think it's been pretty well received. There seem to be two camps, though. There's the Q camp, which says, let's just strip Project Q for everything we can get out of it or use it. And then there's the SEP camp, which says, let's just use SEP, or let's strip Project Q and get everything we can out of it and see if we can get it to work with SEP. And then when they have problems, they post these big long-winded messages about how do you integrate it. And I've had a couple of people actually come out and ask me if I could do some kind of integration with the two. And, you know, I mean, frankly, not to start any, stir the pot, so to speak, but I mean, that just doesn't interest me all that much.
Yeah, there have been a few people who've done pretty successful jobs of combining the two, which is pretty great. But I think the way it's the two projects are put together, it's very difficult to combine the two in a way that everyone will like. So everyone wants their own different variation of combining them.
Yeah, I mean, and also we go through this pain, I would say, pretty regularly when we use the Caderen PRC pack on our server, which in Neverwinter Nights 2, that's like a bunch of classes, spells, prestige stuff. Mm-hmm. And the big pain in the ass for us is the fact that we do a lot of our own custom stuff too, like spells, feats, and different things like that. And it's definitely kind of hard to always merge these contents, and especially when you're talking about that many 2DA files, that much content, and it'd be impossible to keep it up to date when you have two separate sets of people trying to maintain the same exact sets of stuff, and you have no control over it.
And that's exactly why I don't want to get involved in any kind of merger project.
Yeah. Yeah, I can understand.
The thing with some of our content is we do things like change 2DA settings from the standard, which can change the way things like items or creatures work that are kind of fundamentally incompatible. We've done some things with shields, and it's impossible to create a second set of shields. So if you change anything with the shields, you know, you either change it or you don't. You can't have both. And so that makes it a little more difficult to agree on what to merge. And, you know, we couldn't merge with CEP, for instance, or be based on CEP without either sacrificing some of our content or them sacrificing some of theirs.
Exactly.
So it really is something people have to do for themselves, unfortunately.
I don't know. It's always been one of the limitations with custom content for both Neverwinter Nights, 1 and 2. I mean, the way just the way it is, it's highly customizable, but because of the way you have to customize it, there's no guaranteed way of being able to integrate your content and somebody else's at the same time.
They did this, BioWare had this fairly genius decision to have things like in the items 2DA, instead of having like a little switch you can turn on and off to say if an item's a shield or if an item's a torch, what it basically does is say line 4 is a shield, line 6 is a torch. And no matter what's on that line, you know, it just, because of the order that it's written in, it's just, it decides for itself.
So what do you have planned for upcoming releases? Is there anything that you guys are working on that you can share with us?
This is a bit where we rushly bring up our release notes from the pirate section of the forums for the next update.
I know, I'm working on right now. It's almost done. I'm converting over the flying phenotype. The only thing I've got left is I've got to run the cloak animations, and I've got to show up with the code animations on that. We've also added Vehi's additional animations, which that includes the hanging prisoner, the alternate emote animations.
Hanging prisoner. I love it.
There's a few animations that I tend to sort of like sneak into my module as sort of general ambient ones. Like there's one of standing in a thoughtful pose, and there's one of lying down and stuff like that, which sound like not much, but if you have, you know, NPCs in a city and they're all doing different things, it looks really cool.
Yeah, but there's no Grokko smash. That one.
We kind of removed the one animation that we thought was really dumb, but. All the rest are great, in my... Well, to be fair, we actually had to fit under a limit, and there was only 9 of the 10 we could add, but yeah, we had to leave one out, unfortunately.
Well, 2 out, actually, which two. The hanging prisoner actually became a phenotype.
I forgot about this. We've, for the next update, which hopefully should be coming soon, I mean, we called it the Sleigh Full of Updates update, so, you know, we can't leave it too late.
Right.
But, well, there's a bunch of placeables, which are all very interesting. I don't know, I'm trying to think of some cool things. Quite a lot of creatures. We added some spectral creatures, which have sort of... they're basically all skeletons, but with a really cool glowy special effect, which you really have to see in animation to understand.
That sounds really cool. I mean, I've always been a fan of the undead and spectral stuff. We use a lot of that kind of crap in Nepean, too, mm-hmm. So I'm definitely a big fan of that kind of stuff, too.
We've also got a new castle interior tile set, but I'm not going to say too much about that because I don't know how much of it's going to be in before we get time to update.
We've also done a rather large expansion on the TNO tile set. We've added field tiles, just empty fields, cornfields, fields with fences around them, cornfields with fences around them. We've got some thatch roof versions of like the mill, a couple others. There's actually a new town hall with a thatch roof that's been added. And we've got alternate versions of buildings that had the cobble road going by them that now have our dirt road crosser going along with those.
We've got a few new robes and new helms as well. We made a few variant heraldic versions of the tabard we had, and I made a new Howbuck model a few weeks ago, which is now in as well.
Yeah, that's amazing. I mean, just the fact that you got so much stuff, I mean, just for items alone is just amazing. Because that's been one of the things, too. It's always nice when you can really customize the look and feel of what you're doing, you know, as far as like what items are available to players, and it does make a big difference. No question. You know, speaking of all the different content, you've done a ton of models, items, placeables, tile sets, and many other things. Do you have any plans on adding like custom scripting systems, like for, you know, common module PW functionality, stuff like that, like kind of be like a one-stop shop for all things Neverwinter 1?
Not particularly. Although I think that's partly due to sort of our own personalities. We all like, everyone in the team pretty much likes to script their own versions of things, like crafting, etc.
That's true. It definitely true. I mean, when it comes to coding and different systems, there's so many different ways you can do stuff, and one doing it one way may not actually be good for another person or another persistent world or mm-hmm. module or whatever.
I think what we'd probably be more comfortable doing if we were going to do something like that would maybe just have like a list on the forums of some of the scripting systems off the vault that, you know, we use or like, I don't know, a few shortcuts if people want to ask, you know, our opinions on what scripting systems to use. Because, you know, there's plenty that's been done already that works fine and would be more customizable if you took it off the vault than if we put it in our hacks.
I already kind of went down this road a couple of years back before I got involved with Project Q, which was my my Neverwinter Nights Enhanced project, which I did with Cervantes. It started out with as just a script set originally, just to add a few new spells that I felt were missing. And then I got with Cervantes, and we started adding creatures and content. And next thing I know, we kind of just got out of control with it, and it turned into a miniature version of SAP, and we're trying to incorporate everything. But as far as, you know, script side went, I tried to integrate a lot of this stuff, and I got like the HCR working with a lot of systems that I added in, like Screwtape Simple XP. I expanded the HCR 2.0 a little bit, which HCR is a hardcore rule set. And the biggest problem. Yeah, hardcore.
Sorry. I always find that funny.
Well, the biggest problem, though, that I found with that whole integration was that you always seem to find that you want to add more. And it seems that once you start down that road, you just keep expanding upon it. And what I found with Enhanced, anyway, is that eventually version 2.0 was stable. It was never released, unfortunately, but I started working on a version 2.1, which I was looking to take the script base from Enhanced and add it on top of Project Q. And then I found these other new features like DMFI that I wanted to integrate. But what happened is it seemed the more I integrated, the more things broke. So, you know, again, I think as far as Project Q is concerned, at least from my point of view anyway, if we're going to do anything script related, it's going to be related to the content we're putting in. Like,
we do have things like crafting for our new shields. Well, right. To an extent, as far as the engine will allow it. And things like support for our animations and things like that already in. And quivers. I think there's a variable you can just set on your module now, and players will get quivers on their backs when they wear arrows.
Yeah. And actually, I just got done fixing those quivers today.
Indeed, that's the only reason I remember we have it.
Well, it seems that the game has this interesting little quirk of if you equip a bow or crossbow and you don't have arrows or bolts equipped already, it doesn't equip them when you equip the bow or crossbow. It equips them when you use the weapon. So what would happen is you could equip a bow or crossbow, and then unequip it, unequip it. You would have arrows sitting in your backpack, and because the quivers were just tied to the arrows or bolts, because those arrows or bolts hadn't been equipped, they didn't fire that unequipped event, the quiver never appeared on the model. So you had it was basically broken is what it was.
Yeah.
But that's all fixed now.
So with all these different things that you guys have done, what are some of each of your favorite creations that are in Project Q?
For the things that I've made personally, I think those spectral warriors I mentioned a bit ago are probably some of my favorites, just because they're one of the prettiest things I've done. They're all green and shiny, and it's nice. I also really like my sewer tile set, which has had a few updates, a few upgrades, both by myself and by Tom Banjo, who's done quite a lot of work on it lately. One thing we've added now is sloped pipes with flowing animated water, which is thanks to I always call him Senemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemenemen That guy helped me work out how to write how to make flowing water.
So you actually have flowing water in the game. I mean, when you're in the compilation.
Well, just on one little tile group at the minute, but it doesn't look that good, but it I mean, it's not like modern game kind of quality flowing water, because it still sort of ends where the tile edge is. But it's a nice little feature.
I'll say it is. We take it for granted in NWN too, because it's part of the tool set. You know, painting water and have it flow whatever direction you want, layers and stuff. But yeah, that's really cool that you were able to do. That's why I was like, that raised my eyebrows. As soon as you said flowing water, I'm like, holy crap. How'd you do that?
I could tell you how, but I'm sure you wouldn't understand.
I wouldn't understand crap. Or as a favorite movie line, I wouldn't understand Jack or shit in Jack Left Town. So,
I know for myself, that's a pretty difficult question. I mean, if I had to pick one item, it would probably be the helmet that I did. Gavin provided the texture for it.
I was
having a lot of trouble with that texture, and you really bailed me out on that one. But that helmet was it surprised me that it came out as good as it did, because I really had no idea what I was doing when I started on it. I had this picture that I found on Google, and I was just bound and determined that that's what I was going to do. And about 13 or 14 hours later of sitting in front of the screen until my eyes were just about bulging out the side of my head, I got it right.
And that helmet, actually, I think we made like 4 or 5 different helmets that were just based off that one model, with a few like little few bits moved around. And I made what had the sort of the cap of the helmet pulled back and a bigger sort of faceplate. And then I used it for a helmet of my own, where I used your helmet model, but with a mask on the front instead of a helmet faceplate, which was a bit strange, but it looks quite cool.
So, you know, what's your thoughts on the future of the NWN community as a whole? Have you ever considered starting a Project Q for NWN 2 either?
Personally, no, because I haven't got the second expansion, and I think I've scratched my first expansion disc, and I don't really want to just be doing it for the vanilla Neverwinter Nights 2, because I'm not sure there's many people who, you know, just play the vanilla now.
Well, it's $4.99 on Steam right now, the whole thing.
I don't have £4.99. Do you think I'm made of money?
I didn't say pounds.
Dollars. I have no dollars, even. So.
What about the Neverwinter Nights community as a whole? Like, how do you see? Like, that we're not really tuned into the NWN1 player scene that much, because we're not on it. But like, what do you think from what you're seeing as far as the population and new products coming out? What do you think?
It seems to have stabilized a little bit. That there's a lot of new people that have joined up, thanks to GOG and Impulse re-releasing the game, but a lot of the ones that have been around for a long time, they're showing up less and less, at least on BioWare Social. I haven't quite figured out where they're hanging out yet, if they're hanging out anywhere. But a lot of these new guys, they got to learn to read the sticky threads. Good Lord, if I see one more post about Windows 7 and Neverwinter Nights not working, I'm going to scream.
Yeah, I think for a while now, the community had been getting smaller and smaller, but more and more stubborn and hardcore, I suppose. But I think there has been an influx of new people, and quite a few new people getting into custom content now, which is pretty cool. You know, I suppose potentially we might have a few more Project Q members eventually. But
I was actually I forget who I was chatting with the other day, but we were chatting over PM, and he said that what he's noticed with the community is there's a bunch of cranky old guys that have been around for a while, and a bunch of cranky young guys that haven't been on there very long. So there's definitely a, I guess you could call it a generation gap in there.
That's interesting. I didn't. That's something I had no idea. That's pretty cool.
Well, I play, my daughters play, and my nephew plays. So right there, you got two generations.
Oh,
playing
yeah.
The same game.
Oh,
and
yeah.
My 6-year-old son tries to play, which is actually quite funny to watch.
Oh, I bet.
Well, I think that's all the questions that we had for you guys, so we want to thank you for coming on the show. But is there anything else you want to share before we close out, or?
Well, a little bit of self-endorsement from the fact that we're probably going to be putting out a release in the next two or three weeks. See, now I've said that, Paul will be scared because we haven't actually mentioned a release date yet. But yeah, check out our new release when it happens.
2 to 3 weeks. Ever the optimist.
I did say I wanted it out before New Year, but that's probably not going to happen now. It's all this time on the podcast. We could have been doing something productive.
Oh, I want to hear that. Don't blame it on us. Hey, you know what, though? At the end of the day, take your time, get the job done, quality like you've been doing, and that's going to matter.
Yeah, make sure it's right.
I think what's happened with the new release is the same thing that happened with the old one. We with 1.4, we picked the date, we said we're ready to go, and then someone made the mistake of posting a comment that, feel free to add anything if you want to. And you see, this is what happens when you got model builders in charge of a project. If you tell them to add stuff, they're just going to keep adding stuff. And you know what? Someone went and posted the same dang message again.
Because last release, we said, okay, we're going to release now. And then we released, and then our server went down. And then we're like, oh dear. So we released again, and then on the new server, it turned out that we could only have 5 people downloading at a time. So that failed. And then we released again, and then something else happened. So hopefully we won't have those problems this time. I think we're going to actually try the download before we tell people it's up there.
Yeah, that's probably... Yeah, it's bit me in the ass a few times. You know, I roll something out, and they'll be like, oh, yeah, it's fine, and here something's screwed up. And I'm like, crap. You know, back to the, you have to hurry up and get it up there, and everybody's got 50 posts coming on the forum. It's broken, you know. So I totally know where you're coming from on that one. Definitely test it before you announce it. Well, who wants the closing line?
It's far too cheesy for me to say. I think I've said it once, so Paul can have the indignity this time if you like.
And what would the indignity be?
To say get in game and level up.
Get in game and level up.
You can always reach us via our website at neverwinternightspodcast.com or by email at show@neverwinternightspodcast.com. The opinions and viewpoints expressed on the Neverwinter Nights podcast are not necessarily those of its sponsors or those of Obsidian, BioWare, Atari, their partners, or employees.
The Neverwinter Nights podcast is a production of the Realms of Trinity. We're solely responsible for its contents.
For now, I say we crack some of those kegs and drown the flagon in wine.
The Neverwinter Nights podcast is copyright 2011.